The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
In the United States, we celebrate Memorial Day and remember those who gave their lives for our country. And all across the hockey world, we celebrate the conference finals as we bring you episode 11 of the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Well, things are starting to get going in these playoffs, Drew. And in fact, we're starting to get an idea of what the final are starting to look like. And by the look of it, we might have a rematch from last season.
Yeah, the two best teams right now, two teams that are playing the best, and the two best teams are Florida and Edmonton. Both lead their series. The Florida Panthers they're a juggernaut, and we've talked about them many, many times so far. And the Edmonton Oilers have found their groove. They're no longer the Edmonton Oilers where they are relying on Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. They're getting contributions from everybody. And those are the two top teams right now. And I think the two teams, and as you said, that played last year in the finals will meet up again.
Well, Florida really, really took it to Carolina in a surprising game number three. The first two games were a lot better, but this was all Florida all the way pretty much from the very start. When Nico Mikkola, how about that, made it 1-0.
Up the boards, it's Tkachuk, then Bennett over the offensive line. Bennett delays, Mikkola hops the rush shot, and he scores! Nico Mikkola, top corner, his second of the game, and the Panthers lead 3-1. Nico Mikkola, a heavy wrist shot out of the left circle, upstairs, and the Panthers lead by a pair. The Condors flying tonight.
They certainly are, and though that happened, Logan Stankoven, the acquisition in that massive dual trade with Dallas and Colorado, as it turned out, came up big for the Canes.
Burns is shot out in front. Oh, scores on the power play! Carolina has even this game at one. A huge power play goal right when they needed it.
When the score was 1-0, there was a pretty big save that was made on Stankoven by Bobrovsky before that goal went in.
Now Stahl muscles his way, Stankoven, Bobrovsky! That is the save of this series getting across. Sergei Bobrovsky continues to dazzle in the Eastern Conference Final.
Boy, lots of opportunities for the Carolina Hurricanes early. It was 1-0. Then it was 1-1 when Stankoven made the tying goal play work. But after that, we had a major penalty that was issued. Pretty big hit by Lostarinen with the score 1-0.
And a heavy hit behind the net. We've got an injury.
Oh, boy. Blake is in some unbelievable pain. And it was Lostarinen, I believe, that hit him.
It was.
Canes are going after him. To the left of Kochetkov, Doug Bennett out on the ice.
As it turned out, Lostarinen would get a five-minute boarding major. That was with about 4 minutes left in the first period and a game misconduct. And that certainly put the push on Florida, but it didn't seem to bother them, Drew.
No, it hadn't. There's lots of discussion up here in Canada about that hit. I always go back when I see plays like that. I always go back to what Larry Robinson, when he was assistant coach for the Sharks, told his D-men. When you're going back in that type of situation, you slow up. You slow right down and bring the forechecker right on your tail, right on your rear end, and then you brace and slow him down so he doesn't drill you in the back. Now, Lostarinen, it's up to him. He sees the vulnerability, the defenselessness of Blake, and still comes in heavy. But at the same time, your job is to protect yourself. And I agree with the call. It should have been 5 minutes. But at the same time, players have got to learn to slow down, bring the guy on your tail, and then you can get one to get there, and you can tie getting to the puck. But you've got inside position, so you should come out with the puck. But trying to outrace the man, and in that situation, Lostarinen coming in too hot, And Blake has got to do a better job protecting himself. I know that's a bit of victim blaming there, but I always remember Larry Robinson telling his D-men, guys, your job is to protect yourself. You don't need to get in there a foot and a half or 2 feet away from the guy. Get in there at the same time, then win the puck.
So 1-1 the score. And the other factor too, Drew, was that Sam Reinhart was not playing for the Florida Panthers because he got hurt in the last game. And Jesper Boqvist came into the lineup and he talked about being inserted into the lineup and trying to make an impact.
Obviously great. Huge win for us and glad I could help a little bit.
Well, help a little bit he did. He picked up a pretty big goal to put the Panthers in front 2-1.
Barkov, the offensive line, puck knocked away. At center, it's turned over by Taylor Hall. Ekblad. Now in goes Jesper Boqvist. To the front of that, Boqvist on net. He scores! Jesper Boqvist, what a move! He beats Kochetkov down low, and the Panthers take a 2-1 lead. 1 minute, 29 seconds into the third.
So that started the third period off, and Boqvist right there steps right in. How many times have we seen that, Drew, where a guy's been kind of sitting on the fence, not getting into the lineup, finally gets his opportunity, and because he's been preparing perfectly in practice, because he's been focused, he's able to make a contribution.
We see it a lot, and we see it with the good teams, right? I mean, that's that culture that Florida builds. That was a power move by Boqvist with a heck of a goal, and you want that. You get a chance to get inserted in the lineup, you want to make an impact, and he certainly did, because that changed the game.
It changed the game, but then Nico Mikkola, looking like Rocket Richard, came up with another one for Florida. He has been just great.
Up the boards, it's Kachuk. Dan Bennett over the offensive line. Bennett delays. Mikkola hops the rush shot, and he scores! Nico Mikkola, top corner, his second of the game, and the Panthers lead 3-1.
What would that be the equivalent of in Sharks hockey lore? Who would be the guy that would score two goals to kind of be the equivalent of Nico Mikkola?
I don't know. Who do you have in mind?
Would it be somebody like, even from this past year, you know, somebody that just doesn't play that much and gets in, you know, sits out? I got to think about it right now, but I don't know why the name Mark Vichorek is coming up, but that's like way back in the history of hockey. That has nothing to do with today.
I'm telling you, Mikkola has been terrific. He's a free agent, isn't he? Coming up?
I believe so.
Yeah. But then later on in the game, he took a tough tumble into the boards, and boy, that was a scary moment too. But he has been just everything. Defensively, outstanding. He's big. He's tall. He's rangy. He's good defensively. But offensively, he gets up in the play. And again, Danny, it's the Florida Panthers. They're getting Mikkola, Boqvist, of course you get Verhaeghe and you get Reinhart or when he's playing Bennett and all those guys, but they've got a supporting cast that is outstanding and they're contributing.
Yeah, they're all contributing. They're getting the big saves from Bobrovsky. And by the way, you mentioned the hit on Mikkola late. They were all over him early, too. You think about this play that Orlov did.
It'll go behind the net, yeah. And what a hit by Orlov. Rebound out in front as Mikkola was sent down to the ice.
Huge hit.
That was a big hit earlier in the game, so he's got a target on his back.
Well, sure he does, absolutely. And Orlov came all the way from the blue line. Orlov's a defenseman. He had a tough game, Orlov, in last game. Came all the way from the point as Mikkola's coming around the net. Bang, big hit, perfect, nothing wrong with it. That's it. That's playoff hockey. And Mikkola bounced up, but you're right. They're looking at him now seriously trying to finish as many checks as possible.
Well, that's what they're trying to do here. Now let's take a look at what happened the rest of the afternoon and evening as Alexander Barkov, the captain of the team, basically put the game away in the third.
Orlov up the far side, turns it over. Kachuk, Barkov, right circle, has a lane in front. He scores! The captain buries it, and the Panthers have a 4-1 lead with 13:05 to play. Here in the third, the Panthers cash in off the turnover, and it's Alexander Barkov giving the Panthers a three-goal lead.
How many times did the Hurricanes turn over the puck when they tried to make plays in this game?
A lot. And that's, you know, puck management is a big thing. And I got to give you a ton of credit. I remember years ago, you talking about Barkov, years before anybody else started talking about how great of a player he is and how much of a 200-foot player he is and one of the most complete players in the National Hockey League. I remember you've always been a big fan of his. And in the last 3 years, he has shown, maybe even more than that, he has shown everybody that you were right on the money about that guy. What a goal that was.
What a goal it was. And he would add a second one to make it 5-1 in the third period.
Josh Despair is leaned on by Rodriguez, swerves away from him, gives to Morrow, who then fails to clear. Barkov, near circle of space, a shot tip, they score! And the Panthers take a 5-1 lead with 10:29 to play in the third. Barkov put it to the net. That puck took a deflection in. Looks like it's going to be Barkov's goal. The captain has two, and the Panthers have a 5-1 lead.
Not only is he a great hockey player, Drew, but he's also an outstanding leader. He just seems to have that calmness, yeah. But he also has the ability to get the team together.
Yep, there's well, Pomeroy's talked about it to us a couple of years ago when he took over the leadership of that team, and he pointed to Barkov right off the bat that, you know, in practice, at training camp, he was barking at guys like, this is, you know, how we need to prepare. And Everything he does is exactly what you want in a hockey player.
Well, Barkov did that in the third, and it was 5-1 at that point. And then to add salt into the wounds, Brad Marchand made it 6-1.
Lundell into the offensive end, 2-1 with Marchand. Lundell, a shot, and he scores! Brad Marchand, what a setup from Lundell! And Marchand doesn't miss from there. It's a 6-1 Panthers lead. The Panthers are all over the Hurricanes here in the third. Brad Marchand puts the Panthers up 5.
And then the Panthers would get a power play opportunity against because of a penalty that they took, as it turned out. It would be a goal by Seth Jarvis, his 5th of the season on the power play for Carolina to make it a 6-2 final. So Logan Stankoven with 1 goal and 1 assist. Brent Burns, by the way, 1 assist on that first Stankoven goal. But by that time, Svechnikov got a 10-minute misconduct after getting 2 for slashing, 2 for roughing, 10-minute misconduct. His day was over. Jonah Gadjevich took a 2-minute penalty at 15:49, the third for roughing. So things got a little bit ugly, and that's setting things up for a very interesting game number 4. But I'll tell you what, Drew, it was. If I'm Carolina, I'm a little bit demoralized after this game. And you know what? That's exactly what Rod Brind'Amour was talking about. The head coach of the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes post game was discussing exactly that topic, and like a turnover that he saw from Taylor Hall that resulted in a big goal against.
I don't know. I mean, I think we were there. Obviously, we're playing better. And then just to turn pucks over, like, it's not what we do. And no one does that. And I think that just, everyone was just pretty surprised. You know what I mean? It's just, you can't do that. And you can't do it anytime. Preseason game is going to cost you. But against that team, and you turn over for odd man rush, forget it. Right? And that's, we know that. And that was really, I think, demoralizing. I think I was just like, oh, because we know the margin's tight, right? Then we had a couple chances. We got to score. We get those opportunities to maybe get a lead, maybe, you know, otherwise it's just really tough against them.
Well, that brings us back to that Boqvist goal in the third to make it 2-1. And Brad Marchand, who's been a veteran of a lot of hockey, talked about how important that was.
Huge. Bogey, he's been so good every time he's been in the lineup, and huge play by him. It just allows you to settle in and get comfortable. And, you know, once they tied it up, it's one of those things that anything could happen. You know, you get a lucky bounce and they get the lead. But we just did a great job after that of locking it down and get back to our game. But that just, it gave us the confidence to continue to build. So huge play by Bogey there.
Was Marchand surprised about how the game went and how the series has gone?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that the way the games have been played is really an indication of what the outcome's been score-wise. You know, they've been pretty tight. It just seems like we've gotten a couple bounces and you know, a couple lucky breaks here and there that have kind of given us a pretty good lead. You know, we've capitalized on the special teams, obviously, which is huge this time of year. So, don't expect that, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's not going to change anything about next game. We got to come in and prepare the same way, and it's always the toughest one to get, so we got to make sure we bring our best.
Obviously, Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Panthers, the Stanley Cup champions, were really happy about the penalty kill that they had in that first period when Luostarinen got thrown out. And according to the head coach, he said that was the most important reason for why the barrage later on was possible.
It's a real inflection point in the game because of those two guys out there, critical. Both Reinhardt, part of the Barkov pair, and then A2 is not known around this league, but he should be. He's a heck of a player. And to have those guys out, but yeah, you got Boquist comes in and Rodriguez come in, and Nosek takes more minutes, and that's kind of where you get to in the playoffs. Somebody else has to block the shot. Somebody else has got to do it. And then when you're on the bench and they do it, you get this bounce from it, right? We had some action on our on the kill in the, at the start of the second. It might have been our best chances of the game at some point. So those guys, those are really important minutes for them. And then also confidence in your depth. It's going to happen again. One of your killers takes a penalty for 2 minutes. It doesn't faze your bench.
Little things like that really lift the spirits of a hockey team. And on the other side of things, as Brenda Moore was just talking about, Drew, it can also take away your morale.
Well, certainly that five-minute major is the biggest critical moment of the game. The Carolina Hurricanes have a chance to take the lead. They got a chance to maybe add to it. And as Paul Maurice said, one of their best chances, the Florida Panthers, on that game was during that five-minute major. And after that, they got the bounce of a power play opportunity. It was a terrific penalty kill. And as Paul Maurice said, your depth gets tested, your depth comes through, you get a big bounce on the bench.
Well, now let's take it to game number 4 that's coming up, because obviously the Panthers have a chance to punch their ticket to the Stanley Cup final and sweep the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are what, 0-15 now? Is it 0-15?
0-15.
In their last 15 conference final games, which is a record that just boggles my mind. I can't believe it, especially how good a team they've been.
Exactly. It is absolutely one of the most phenomenal stats in sports right now. Nobody's talking about it because it's a tough thing to bring up to anybody. But this is a team that has made the conference final. You make the conference final, as we know, it's damn hard to do. You got to win 8 games. You got to get there. And it's hard to get through the first 2 rounds. And they've got to the conference final and they haven't won a game in now 4 trips there. I have no reason why, and as you heard Marchand talk about, it's not like they're getting blown out, but they are getting blown out. You know, they play a tight game, but something goes wrong, as Brendan Moore said, on that turnover, and they just cannot recover. I can't explain it, Danny. It's absolutely amazing.
Now, maybe the explanation is that Rod Brindamore is not playing for the team anymore, because that's the last time they won one, right?
Yeah, him and Hedy. They need him and Hedy back there for sure.
Yeah, I think the Hedekin factor is something that we haven't even mentioned yet. The fact that Brett is not on the team anymore, that would be a big difference, in my opinion. I don't know. I think he'd make a big difference.
Without a doubt. It's amazing stat.
Let's talk about the mindset now. Paul Maurice has a definitive mindset about elimination games.
It can't be the first time your team's heard that. If you get up 3-0 and you... But we've learned... I hope. We're going to find out if we've learned.
Right side.
Certainly. Well, no, I'm not done. That was a good question. Unlike the one previous. kidding. No, but you know what? Like we get up 3 Toronto 2 years ago and wanted it so bad that we tried to win the game on every play. And I think we kind of learned from that. And then you saw last year. Beat 8-1. It's the same idea. They have the desperation advantage. You have potentially the desire advantage, just the achievement idea that you get to move on. And both teams will fight that. Like that will be on display in the game. Can we control the desire emotion, play the game? Can they control the desperation emotion and play the game? So what the common denominator is, just got to play the game. It's just hockey. There's nothing else to this game but hockey, but neither team's going to feel that coming to the rink.
Interesting observations and some humor there from Paul Maurice in the scrum, but I want you to take that and I want to flip it on the other side and go to the Brindamore position, being down 3-0 in the conference final and being 0-15, that big albatross hanging over the head of the franchise.
So what you do there, you listen to what Paul said. You have to fight certain emotions. I did love the line about we tried to win the game, you know, talking about you know, when they had last time they had a chance for elimination against Toronto, tried to win the game on every play. But in the bottom, at the end, you just go play hockey. If you're Brind'Amour, I don't think you need to say anything about and remind the guys where they are. But you have to remind the guys just to go do what they've been doing their whole lives and doing it very well. Just go play hockey and give your best effort. Get your compete level as high as you can. Talk about those details. Provide solutions to the team. And then let them go. There's no big rah-rah speech. There's no need to yell and scream. Provide the solutions as a coach. Provide the opportunity for the guys to go put those solutions into effect and just go play. There's nothing else.
We continue now with the Sharks Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We move to the Western Conference, where the Edmonton Oilers have taken commanding control over their series with the Dallas Stars team that won that first game. But you got to have more than 5 minutes in your game. And unfortunately, that's where Dallas has been so far in this playoff, don't you think?
Yes. Again, this is a situation where I think the better team is winning the series so far. Dallas has not looked as quick. Well, they're not. They're not as quick as the Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers are a different team than they've been the last number of years. They're playing heavier. They're playing harder. Dallas didn't play a bad game yesterday, even though the score was so lopsided yesterday as we record this. But and even Pete DeBoer was complimentary to his team. I think it was a little bit of deflection. But at the same time, the Dallas Stars, as much as I like Rantanen and Robertson and Hintz and Heiskanen and a lot of their players I really, really like, but they don't have game breakers. Rantanen should be, and Rantanen was earlier, but he's not now. So the game breakers for the Edmonton Oilers, and right now it's 97. He is providing that spark, that leadership, that jump that is inspiring the rest of his team. He is dragging guys into the fight and they're winning.
He is, but you also have to remember about Evan Bouchard too on defense. He's really doing a great job in the playoffs for whatever reason, and it was his goal that got the Oilers on the board.
Oilers come across the line off the draw. Nugent Hopkins in control. One-timer, score! Evan Bouchard!
Great goal right there for Bouchard. One of three assists for Ryan Nugent Hopkins in the game. And of course, a little later on,
well.
Connor, he's played great. He's been a very, very underrated part of their team. And what they have to do is when things are, you know, when they're all over Dreisaitl, when they're all over McDavid, there's Ryan Nugent Hopkins stepping up.
Yep, absolutely. He's really embraced that role. And he is in now as the playoffs are getting deeper and deeper, he's starting to have more and more of an effect offensively.
Let's get Connor McDavid into the act here in this hockey game. In the first period, he got a nice, nice pass and a nice, nice goal.
By Thomas Harley. Now Granlund with two guys on him. Forced up ice by Connor McDavid. He's free. Three on one. Connor McDavid, right circle, dishes, gets it back and scores. 2-0 Edmonton.
There's Ryan Nugent Hopkins once again, but again, the key on the turnover was the quickness of which McDavid goes to the offense. That's a big part of it too.
There's nobody that's better skater. Nobody that creates space as much as he does because of his skating. It was a beautiful setup, but it was only, 39 seconds after Bouchard had scored. And again, Danny, it's that turnover, man, managing that puck.
Well, it was pretty obvious that Edmonton would take control of this game, at least as far as the final score is concerned, 6-1 in favor of the Oilers. However, Take a look at some other underrated stats in this game. The shots were officially 21-7 in favor of Dallas in the second period.
Yep.
And yet, in the second period, the Dallas Stars only scored one single goal. That must mean that Stuart Skinner was a big part of what was going on. And here's a couple of saves that he made in period number two.
Haskinen, little spin move, tripped up by Janmark. Dallas unhappy with an on-call. Rantanen in right circle, fires into the glove of Stuart Skinner. Lindell, he's got it, takes it to the net. Steele, couple of chances, point blank, and Stuart Skinner comes up with the goods, and Kapanen clears back inside the Dallas blue line. Skinner. Duchesne will give it up. Marchment, a wrist shot, that was blocked. Rebound kept alive, and Skinner, a tricky save on Tyler Seguin. Jamie Benn to Lindell, wrist shot, save, Skinner got it with a right pad. Seguin able to keep it alive to the net. Johnston, second effort. Skinner, a tremendous left pad save. And the rebound cleared up the right hand side. Mason Marchment staggers his way up the center. Matt Duchesne to the net. Wrist shot, glove save made. Stuart Skinner has had a terrific second period. That is his 17th save of the period.
He ended up with 20 saves officially in that period. And obviously that got the attention of Connor McDavid, who talked about Stuart Skinner's contributions.
Yeah, I thought we were fortunate to be up, after 40. But I thought Stu did a great job. You know, we played really solid in front of him in game two and not so solid tonight, and gave us a chance to get our legs into it and give us a chance to win.
It's been quite a renaissance for Stuart Skinner. And in fact, Zach Hyman was talking about that, about dealing with a goaltender after they haven't played well or when they're not playing well. Do they get out of their way? Do they try to encourage them? How do you deal with it?
You're only human. Like, everybody goes through struggles. Players, coaches, I'm sure. You guys, like, everybody has times where you feel good about your job and times when you don't, and it's just amplified when it's the goalie because he's the last line of defense. So for him to be able to battle back the way he has is just really impressive. Like, I think a lot of people were counting him out, and he came in again and has been, you know, phenomenal. Big reason we're up 2-1.
We often talk about, Drew, how the goaltender can really galvanize a team and get them together. A lot of times we do that when we discuss a backup goalie coming into a tough situation or getting a start because the number one goaltender is hurt. Calvin Pickard certainly has done that a little bit in the playoffs here for the Oilers. But I think if they're going to win the Stanley Cup, they're just going to need Stuart Skinner to make the big saves, and he's been doing it.
I got a friend in Edmonton in the media. He texted me after the game. And I was laughing emoji back to him saying, yeah, you're loving him now, aren't you? Because he was texting me about how great Skinner was. And I was lambasting him a little bit before because you guys didn't watch last year at all in the playoffs. You didn't watch last year during the season and how much he was criticized, how much heat he took. Yet he kept on persevering and then played terrific in the stretch and played really great in the playoffs. Same thing happened to this year. Had a couple of down times and it was, he's not good enough. He's not good enough. He's not good enough. And now all of a sudden you're loving him again. It's amazing how much heat the goalie takes. And that's the nature of the game. We often talk about the pucks that go by him and not the saves he made. Well, Stuart Skinner is once again showing that he's got toughness. He's got some mental fortitude. And he's a pretty darn good goalie.
Well, that brings us up to date as far as the conference finals are concerned, at least as we record this show. But I wanted to finish the show, Drew, with a little tip of the hockey helmet to Ryan Warsofsky and Team USA in the World Championships. Will Smith, yet another assist in the big game. For the first time since 1933, the United States has won the gold medal in the World Championships, beating Switzerland 1-0 in overtime. Tage Thompson, a dramatic goal. What joy on the faces of everybody. Ryan Warsofsky, Will Smith, also Nick Gialdini and Thomas Speer, part of the Sharks contingent that were part of this gold medal. And I just think that's a portent of some things to come here in San Jose, too.
Think about Ryan Warsofsky, two Calder Cups as in the AHL, and now at 37 years old, a world championship, as you mentioned, first time since 1933. Good for Nick, good for Thomas. I did love the fact that they had the Johnny Gaudreau's jersey in the dressing with them the whole,
that was
whole
cool
tournament, and bringing it out on the ice. Fantastic, but what an accomplishment. Absolutely great.
What about the fact that Switzerland was in the final?
And it was a 1-0 game into overtime. There was also a penalty shot in this that game. Danny, I did not have Denmark and Switzerland in the final four of the World Championships. I thought it was going to go up to another four-nation showdown where you had the Swedes and the Finns and Canada and U.S. I had a Canada-U.S. I had Will going up against Macklin. But terrific job. It shows you, though, Danny, doesn't it show you that the game now is becoming so global?
Drew, it's been another great show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, buddy.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.